Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Celebration of Easter, you get to hear two pastors for your sermon. This doesn't mean it's going to be twice as long, so you don't have to get too comfortable. But this is a time as two congregations have come together to worship together in the midst of challenging times, in the midst of enjoying new technologies, that we get to see what it's like to be together, to worship together, even across these distances. And so we thought that it might be best in this time of connection, of celebrating connections together, that this time of sermon also be one of connection. And so Reverend Lydia and I will both be bringing today's Easter celebration message.
Good morning, everyone. This pandemic has surely been a trial for all of us. One silver lining, though, is the humor that has been popping up on social media about this, and it's a great way to cope with any kind of despair, is to make light of it sometimes, to take us out of the heaviness of it all. A couple of my introverted friends have written on social media things like, "When this first started, I have been preparing my whole life for social distancing." Another one of my favorite ones from Christian friends have been, "This is the lentiest Lent I have ever Lented." And the meaning of that being that Lent has always been about a season of testing and refining. It's inspired by the 40 days in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted without food or company, as he was drawing closer to God and tested by Satan. The 40 days also comes from the 40 years in the desert when the Jewish people had just been released from captivity from the Egyptians. And now we're finding a new way, their new identity, and they're in the wilderness, the desert, without food, and they have to depend on God every single day for manna to arrive from heaven. And they have no land or temple quite yet. And boy, were we tested this 2020 Lent. And it hasn't even been 40 days for us. It just started. We're going into the fifth full week of the pandemic. So it hasn't even been 40 days for us, so I can't even imagine the 40 years that the Israelites endured in the desert. And for me, going into this sheltering in place, the first week, I was optimistic, and I thought, my family's going to make the most of it. We are going to bake. We're going to spend a lot of time together. We're going to get into the best shape of our lives because we're going to go on a lot of walks because there's no school anymore. And then the second week, I was thinking, this is hard. And then the third week, I thought, I can't do this anymore. And the fourth week, in playing with my children, my face was just like this. I have no energy to play with cars on the ground with you anymore. And what's funny is that when Lent first began at our Ash Wednesday service, and that seems like so long ago, but it was 28 days ago, a little more than 28 days ago, and Dinah Starnes gave an amazing sermon and inviting us all to give up or take on a practice. My family decided for 2020 Lent, we would begin to be more grateful and give thanks for everything in our lives every night at our meal table. And for my own private spiritual practice, I wanted to develop a stronger trust muscle. There are things that are transitioning in my life pretty rapidly right now, and I need a lot of trust. So I wanted to develop a practice to trust God a little bit more with all of my unknowns. And then the following Sunday, after Ash Wednesday, I preached to the congregation about how after you take on a discipline, you're going to be tested left and right. Your commitments will be questioned and pushed to see how much you are willing to really stick to your commitment. But when I preached that sermon, I actually wasn't really thinking about myself. You know, I'm like, I'm a minister. I can take tests and commit, like, have my commitments be questions, and I'm going to get through this. I'm really talking about all of you guys. You really need my spiritual leadership right now. And then the pandemic happened, and let me just tell you, our commitment to give thanks at the dinner table every night was replaced by complaints every night about what is so hard about this pandemic, and how I miss my donut shop, and how we miss Hugh's school, and how I miss gathering for community in churches or dinner tables, and going on walks with my friends, and the gym, and movie theaters, and so on and so forth. All I had was complaints, 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 complaints. But God always has a way of showing up in my life. And when Bob invited us to do this collaborative worship, I didn't know that their Lenten series was Gratitude by Diana Butler Bass. And I had this revelation in my life. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to give thanks. It's easy to trust when my life is good, when circumstances are ideal. Gratitude is easy, but it's not so easy when my life isn't going according to how I want it to go. So historically, Lent was a time for those who were curious about Christianity to participate in these 40 days of studying and prayer to really make sure that they were all in before they got baptized on Easter Sunday. And the 40 days, they were tested as a means of their spirituality being questioned. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you sure? Are you sure? And tests coming left and right, so that when on Easter Sunday they gather together, they would submerge themselves in water for this lifelong transformation to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, saying, I'm all in. Through every single up and down, I will trust you no matter what, and I will go with you where you take me, knowing that you are always with me and that you are always guiding me. Now, back then, Easter Sunday was celebratory, as it is today, with a lot of pomp and circumstance and music and lavish meals. And in that way, Easter doesn't really feel like Easter today. We don't have our cross with everybody in the congregation putting their flower on it, as we have that tradition at St. Mark's. We don't have the beautiful Hallelujah chorus with our 30-member choir. We don't have our families gathering for that delicious lamb roast. We don't have our annual Easter egg hunt. And in so many ways, it doesn't feel like Easter. But Easter was never about the eggs and the candy and the lamb and the Hallelujah chorus. Easter has always been about hope in the midst of despair. Trust when circumstances are less than ideal, like their Savior being crucified on a cross. And Easter has been about courage when we are weak, which Pastor Bob will say more about. But before we go on to what Easter means for us and our next step, let's talk about what I just shared.
It occurred to me as you were describing the connection between Lent and Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, and even as far back as the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years. One of the stories I've been telling people is that in my house, there are four people. There are two introverts and two extroverts. And
you're the introvert, right?
I am not the introvert. The two extroverts have been going absolutely crazy since day 0.2. And the introverts were great until the extroverts went crazy, and then the introverts didn't know what to do with the extroverts. It seems as though, as we have continued this stay-at-home practice, that we are continuing to wrestle so much like the Israelites in the desert. As you shared, we're complaining. We're wondering how long this is going to be. Mm-hmm. We haven't quite hit the 40 days that Jesus did, and yet we're buying all the toilet paper and bread and flour. We can't find yeast in the grocery stores. There are wonderful parallels in these stories and what we are enduring today.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're finding idols just like the Israelites did because they couldn't trust in God in the midst of the unknown and the mystery. And God whispers to us, are you sure you're in? Are you sure you're in? Do you really trust me? Even when you don't know the future or even what's going to happen from one week to the next.
It occurs to me how similar this emotional sense is today. It seems like it connects deeply with the emotional sense that the disciples were experiencing mm-hmm. in that time of waiting mm-hmm. between seeing the one that they would name as Messiah crucified. It seemed as though for the disciples it must have been easy to have faith when Jesus was physically and intimately present and teaching and throwing over tables. Mm-hmm. But it got dramatically less easy when they saw him on a cross. Mm-hmm. When they heard about the curtain in the temple being torn in two. Indeed, it was so hard that they scattered. And I wonder if that might lead us into our text today. I'm going to invite Reverend Jerry to come forward and read from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 20.
Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he had said to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It occurs to me that this text is one of progressions. It seems as though one action precedes an action that takes the next step. Then the next action takes the next step. When Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, she simply sees that the stone has been rolled away. But when Peter and the other disciple come, well, first they turn it into a foot race, but then they show up and they look in. Mary Magdalene later looks in, but she sees the angels. Then Mary sees Jesus. Do you see how this is a text that takes steps? Steps that guide us through the wilderness. It also occurs to me the courage that Mary in particular must have had to go to the tomb this first day of the week. Historically, we understand that women were little more than property, and an unmarried woman having even less value than a married woman. You may remember in the Good Friday readings when Jesus from the cross says to his mother, "Here is your son," and says to a disciple, "Here is your mother." This is a profound act of care as Jesus makes sure that his mother is socially attached to a man so that she will not be left on the margins. So do we understand the courage that it takes for Mary Magdalene to approach the tomb alone, in the dark? I have to be honest with you that I don't see quite as much courage between Peter and the other disciple, particularly because Peter, well, I just think he's an extrovert, and I identify with that. Peter is one who does things without thinking them through ahead of time. I'm not sure he understood the risk that even he and the other disciple were taking. It is a story of courage as Mary, standing near the tomb, sees one who she thinks is a stranger. And she has the courage to speak, to boldly ask, "Where is my Christ?" And it is when she is called by name that she knows to whom she speaks. It is when she is called by name that she experiences that sense of wonder. And I wonder if it is when she is called by name that she is able to take that next step of faith. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. She, in the midst of these emotions of wilderness, steps into a time of hope and the first glimmer of joy. My friends, as we continue in this time of distant socializing, someone in our live chat today, I think, described it as sacred distancing. As we endure this time, the question we might ask ourselves this Easter Sunday is, are we willing to take the next step of faith, the next step of faith into hope, into the first glimmer of joy? Are we ready in the midst of global pandemic to have the courage not only to practice sacred distancing, but when we are given the sign that we might gather together again to proclaim our faith, to proclaim our spirituality, to gather together again to sing the songs that have been taught to us our entire lives, that Christ is risen, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah! 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 Can we have the courage, dear friends, to look towards that day with hope, to see the possibility of that glimmer of joy, so that when we gather together again, Christ is present and experienced in our midst? The verses that immediately follow our scripture today, Jesus gathers with the disciples and breathes upon them the Holy Spirit. As we look toward the next step of courage, let us remember that God's Spirit has already been given to us. That as we have the courage to take this step, we are not alone. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
What were the words that the angel said to Mary when he asked her, "What are you looking for?" And she told him.
She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." I'm sorry, that's what Jesus says. The angels, when the angels speak to her, let's see, I'm finding it. I'm looking at... She saw two angels dressed in white. This is chapter 20, verse 12. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then she does reply, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And as soon as they said this is when she turns and sees Jesus, but doesn't recognize him.
Does he speak to her?
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And she thinks it's the gardener. So she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And that's when he calls her by name.
And then he says,
"Mary."
She
says in Aramaic, "Rabunai," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to the Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's interesting to me that he says to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I am still leaving you." And this courage that we have is so, it's based on a faith for something unseen and ungrasped and without in our control, in our possession still. And even though we aren't gathered yet together in person, and we don't know when that day will come, how do we not hold off on that courage right now when things are not within our possession quite yet? How do we have the Holy Spirit to guide us right now to live a life of courage when we still can't have church altogether? I wonder.
I wonder too, and my thought process takes me back to the ancient Israelites in the wilderness who had to have the patience to wait for the daily amount of bread, just what they needed. They couldn't pick up any extra.
Yeah.
They could only receive what was given for that day.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the courage that is required for us is only the courage to take the next step.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can feel overwhelmed at all the steps, but if we can experience God's Spirit and God's guidance giving us the strength for just the next step.
That is courage. Because I tell you, almost everybody I have a deep conversation with during this time, it's in a measure to control. When do you think this will be over? When do you think this will be over? When do you think this will be over? How long will we be doing this for? When can I go to my donut shop again and have donuts there with my son? When can I have my 9 to 5 back as I put him back in school? And I think the courage is to trust one day at a time and receive and be grateful for everything that we have received in just this one day. And looking further than that is our measure to control and to complain and turn to idols and hoard.
I wonder if we might prayerfully consider these things.
Please join me in prayer. Risen Christ, today on this Easter Sunday, we give you thanks that you have overcome death so we may experience life, a life filled with courage, a life without fear. Today we pray for those who rise to the service of others, healthcare workers, first responders, volunteered and paid essential staff, technicians, audio, sound, interpreters. Today we pray for those who rise to face the day while in grief, struggling with a diagnosis, recovering from an illness, and serving as caregivers. Lord, give them all courage. Today we pray for those who rise to face the daily challenges ahead of them that only you and they know about. Lord, today we pray for those who rise to lead people with love and humility in uncertain times. Give them courage to lead with hope. Living God, help us to live our lives with joy and intentionality as we love you with our whole heart, with all our being, and with all our mind, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Through this, give us a better understanding of the prayer you have taught us as we pray together in one voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.